sales of health and beauty products, they have not gone down. They have gone up. Membership of health clubs, fitness centers, gymnasiums may be down a little, but these health clubs and centers continue to grow. Many are being rolled out across the country as we speak. And all this makes the statement, a fit, a healthy, a beautiful body is worth having. Don't you agree? Keeping fit is the new byword. Some of our young people are so keen and excited. They want a fit, a beautiful body. And why not? To train and keep your body in shape. It's the new lifestyle. It's the new fashion. Be misfit. Be Mr. Motivator, won't you? This is the image being marketed. Young and mature, male and female, train. Have a beautiful, fit body. But let us view it from another angle. And at this time, some of us will travel, some in Britain, to the scenic spots, some across to the beautiful scenic spots of the world. And amongst all the nature wonders, there are many. We can think of the Grand Canyons, the Rocky Mountains, the Niagara Falls, and so on. You can name some. Yet none of these can quite match the beauty, the intricacy, the complexity of the human body. You might vote for the top scenic spot, the one that takes your breath away. But Scripture votes for the human body. Behold, I am fearfully and wonderfully made in my mother's womb. Look at me. I am fashioned. I am knitted in such beauty, intricacy, that the human body, if you examine it, is so remarkable. So remarkable, in fact, that the nations of the world celebrate it. One event takes over the world every 4 years. The Olympics. The top athletes of the world meet and congregate at the Olympic venue to compete. What is it all about? It is a celebration of the human body. Faster, higher, stronger will the top athletes perform? Or will they crumble? And we are excited, aren't we? London is going to host the next Olympics in 2012, after Beijing in China. But fresh in our hearts and minds, the Beijing Olympics. The unbelievable 8 goals by the swimming phenomenon. Michael Phelps. All the more remarkable, 8 goals and all in record times. What sort of a body does he have? A fish, like a fish. Nobody can quite catch him. Usain Bolt, the fastest man on planet Earth. His 9-foot strides in the sprints over the 100 meters and 200 meters. He is the fastest man on Earth. And our own heroes, Chris Hoy, our cycling cyclone. His thighs generate enough torque and power to outpace any sports car over the distance. Imagine that. And Rebecca Ellington, our swimming sensation, her massive shoulders can steer a human body like a human torpedo through the water. No wonder she ended up with 2 goals. And all these outstanding achievements all add up. What do they say? They say the same thing. That training is indeed good and profitable, not just for the athletes, but for everybody. For you, for me, for everyone here without exception. So it is quite a shock to our system, quite a jolt to our thinking. When the Apostle Paul announces to us in our text, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, here he comes. For bodily exercise profiteth little. We cry out, what? Hold your horses. He's not saying don't exercise your body. He's not saying training your body is useless. He is affirming what we already know. Bodily exercise is profitable. Yes, it is. Yes, a little. And here comes the proviso, the qualification. When you compare to something that is far, far better, what is that? And the answer, training in godliness. And that should immediately catch our attention. Because it is such an important topic in the very Word of God, that we give heed to what is being said here. Training in godliness is profitable unto all things, for now and for the life to come. So there are two dimensions. One for the present life, and one for the life to come. Firstly then, it holds promise for the present life. We all are concerned and preoccupied with the present, aren't we? The young more so than the more mature. Mommy, mommy, I'm hungry. I want a drink. I want to eat. And we are taught, programmed, brought up in our whole life to take care of our present needs. We are preoccupied with the present. We'll sit up and listen. Training in godliness has immediate effects. It benefits us, both ourselves and others. In other words, it is good, very, very good for you. As we trust in Christ, as we become Christians, as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who do you seek to honor and please? Let me ask you the question. What is the rationale and motive? Who do you seek to please and honor? And the answer is simple, it's Him. For He is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000. He is my beloved. I am His, His is mine. Christ whom I embrace as my Lord, my Savior, my friend. He is King. And I will extol Him now, today, and all the days of my life. So I'm going to consider with you an essential guide to training godliness. A three-point guide. As we do so, let us tick the boxes. Let it be a reality check for each one of us. Firstly then, we begin with the alliteration D. Simple to follow. 3 points, 3 D's. First D, delight. Delight in the Word of God. And let me illustrate this way. From the first psalm in the book of Psalms. The first psalm introduces us to the book of the Psalter. Very, very important. It cuts us through a maze of our muddled thinking. Amidst our chaos, our confusion and uncertainty, it crystallizes our thinking that there is, after all, two ways to go. Young person, mature person. You might think you have much wisdom, you might have think you have little wisdom. The Word of God tells us there are only two ways to go. Which one do you choose? Choose carefully. Is it the way of the righteous? Or is it the way of the ungodly? Is it the way of the godly man? Or is it the way of the world? And we are told the choice of the godly man is this. To delight. To delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth meditate day and night. Verse 2. And the psalmist says in another place, in another psalm, how love I thy law, I meditate on it by day and by night. So the focus is crystal clear. That you and me and every child of God is to delight in the word and meditate on it. In all the activity that we do, in our rising up, in our coming down, in our going forth and coming in. And may I congratulate you this morning that you have made the choice of coming to be in the Lord's house to worship Him. And you have taken the step of our first point, to delight in the very Word of God. That's what you have come to do. That you have come to hear the preaching and teaching of the Word, to delight, to take joy, to rejoice, to take pleasure, to be happy, to be blessed by the very Word of God. And that's the idea, to delight. And when we do that, the very word will have such a transforming effect. It would impact your lives. It will go to your heart, to your soul, your being, your body, your mind, and bring tremendous good to you. And we are presented with such a beautiful picture on the one who feeds on the word of God. Psalm 1 verse 3. Listen to it. What a wonderful picture. Is that you? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What a beautiful, beautiful picture of health and beauty and life and prosperity. The point is this. That is you. That is you, my friend. A lot of benefits, freshness, vigor, vitality. These things none of the world can have. All that are in the world will not have all these characteristics and qualities. But you who delight in the Word of God, freshness, vigor, vitality, packed full of goodness, full of vitamins and antioxidants, they are very, very good for you. Very good indeed. The godly person is given strength to prosper, to withstand the season. Whatever the season, he shall prosper. Incredible, tremendously beneficial to our lives. Take note. And as we trust in Christ, and as we honor Him, we enjoy God's approval and blessing. As we exercise control over our sinful nature, remember, even as a child of God, as a believer, we live in the sinful body. We bring it under subjection to the very Word of God. The very authority of the Word of God, we delight in, we listen to, and we subject our body to the very Word of God. We avoid harming ourselves and others. And this cannot be understated. Very many millions in the world press the self-destruct button. Sooner or later, they harm themselves. They harm others. It is a most serious issue. Sooner or later, they will harm themselves and others. And that is the way of the world. They binge. They swear. They turn to alcohol and drugs. They become alcoholics and drug addicts and commit all manner of crime. They sing and spiral in a cesspool of sin, in a whirlpool of crime. But, it is not for the one who trains in godliness. The benefits abound to the one who trains in godliness. He who delights in the Word of God, by meditating and feeding on the Word of God, the person is upheld. So he is given strength to prosper whatever the season. The benefits, I want you to note, are immediate, and truly outstanding. We come to our second point, to our guide to training in godliness. And to keep with our alliteration, we have a second D. Diligence. Be a diligent student of Scripture at all times. And let me illustrate the second point this way. You've heard of Dr. Peter Masters and his ministry at Elephant and Castle. Once a year, there is Dr. Peter Masters' School of Theology, a conference. It purports to have a large gathering of Reformed ministers and theological students. And they will come, register and sign up and come from afar. They will come across London, outside London, throughout Britain, and some even come overseas. They will come to such a conference, those that attend it vouch for it, that they can learn and profit it from such a conference. But do you realize that there is a far, far better school of theology than this? A school that is open all year round. 365 days a year. 24/7. 7 days a week. 24 hours a day. Tell me where it is that I may enroll. That I will join up. And there's further good news. It won't cost you a penny. There's no registration fee. No cost fee. And the school I'm speaking of is utterly unique. It is not a Bible college. It is definitely not a seminary. For in this school, there's no faculty of lecturers. It has only one teacher, the Lord. It has only one textbook, the Bible. And it has only one student, yourself, no others. Sounds boring? Not at all. This is the most exciting place. Exciting place to be, for it is the training ground for your godliness. If you like, the very treadmill. You want a good physical body, you have to work hard, boys and girls, men and women. It comes at a price of training and to train hard. Want to grow in godliness? You have to work at it. And therefore, the spiritual gymnasium, the private personal study. And this is the view we take a great, great verse in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Listen to this verse, to what it says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, is a favorite verse. If you are in a Bible college or in a seminary, ministers, lecturers, the students would love to preach on it. My son, this is the verse for you. Take it to heart as a minister of the gospel. It's a badge to wear as a minister to train in the ministry. I no doubt it is true. It is the definitive badge to wear for those in the Christian ministry and for those who are training it. But I would like to say to you this morning, this verse is for you. Every believer, every child of God, all believers who love the Lord, everyone who is serious everyone who trains in his personal private study would grow in godliness, and that would include you and me. Though the Christian minister is a prime model, an example of this verse. But the key thing I want you to note is the word study. And the emphasis is diligence. How do I illustrate the concept of diligence? Just say I'm the owner of a factory. And despite the recession, advertised there are 20 vacancies for the job to work in my factory. Would you like to apply? We read of the newspapers, for one vacancy in a job, for some places there are 200 applications, some 500, some 1,000 applications, lack of jobs. Many are unemployed in our jobs. It's a long queue to sift through the applicants to choose which one you want to take, if you have the choice to choose. Who shall I choose to be the workers in my factory? I'll tell you on this criteria. Never mind if the person is young or mature. Never mind if he's a top banker that's out of a job, or a lawyer, or someone with no formal education. I will look for this quality, that the person is diligent and hardworking. Not someone who would go for tea every five minutes for a tea break, but someone who is serious, someone who is hardworking. There will be a real benefit to my job, to my business. That is the person I would employ. So the focus of the word used here is simply diligent. It means to work hard, to work at it continually, actively, without ceasing, and do it with great, great devotion and dedication of the heart, with purpose of mind and heart. And I ask you this question this morning. Are you serious? As a child of God, as a Christian in the Lord's business, you must be serious. Are you a diligent worker? Are you persevering in the task of studying sacred scripture? Well, to those who persevere, those who seek, those who search, those who find, there is the great promise. Very much will be revealed, and we are to test it and to prove it. Therefore, in your study of scripture, you prove yourself to be the genuine article, the real thing. The workman who is able to handle the word and with great skill and understanding. That you are able to unpack the word with great insight, with great forensic scrutiny and analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, when you attend meetings, when they say there's fresh prophecy, fresh revelation, be very careful that they will lead you astray. All the revelation of God is in His Word, in the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. There is no fresh revelation. But you must find out what it means. You are to unpack what is being said in the very Word of God. And therefore, you are to study. It is exciting. A criminal scene investigation, TV series. If you like, you are to go in fine detail. You have to go with a fine comb, with a fine brush, to examine, to pick the pieces from the pack and unravel them. Scrutinize it, examine it, investigate it with great detail and analysis, understanding. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you know what the expression reminds you of? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And that is the picture of the top surgeon at work. Have you seen them? They have the scrub. They have to put in gloves. They have the instruments before them to do a most careful operation. A picture of the surgeon at work with skillful hands, with a sharp scalpel. Fast, sharp, concise, precise, incisive. Who is that surgeon? And the end result is truly impressive. That is you, sir. That is you, ma'am. That is you, miss. That is you, master. By diligent study, you show yourself approved unto God. And when it happens, the most amazing thing comes to you. The very approval of God rests on you. His face shines on you. Because you have sought the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your purpose, you stretch to touch the very heart of God, to understand His mind, His will, His purpose for my life, to do His will, to study His word. And do you remember the words spoken by the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ at His baptism and transfiguration? They are words of approval. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Words of approval. But do you realize the same words can be spoken by the Heavenly Father of you? This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. The trouble with us is that we run after the world, don't we? We want the approval of the world. We want the approval of our family, our peers, our colleagues, our friends. We want even the approval of our enemies to win them to our position. But little do we realize the greatest approval of all, the greatest blessing of all, is to be approved by God. Take heed. Therefore, we are to be in this position, the most favored of all, the most blessed. We now come to our third point in our three-point guide to training in godliness. And again, to confirm to our alliteration D, our third point is simply display and defend. Display and defend the banner of truth. The third alliteration, display and defend. And we come to my favorite verse in the Old Testament, Psalm 60, verse 4. Listen to it. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Well, what is this verse all about? It is something exciting in the realm. It is the clearest statement of war and peace. Peace to all who accept the truth of God's word and rally under the banner. War to those who oppose the truth of God's word, those who oppose the banner of truth. And I ask you this morning, which camp do you belong? There can be no fence-sitters. There can be no one who is neutral, non-partisan to either party. Either you rally under the banner of truth or you oppose it. As God's chosen, as God's elect, as the very children of God, we have to realize we have a solemn duty, an obligation. And that is to display and fly the banner of truth, and not to hide it, not to be ashamed of it. And when a nation goes to war, you fly the flag, the very standard. At no cost must you allow that standard, that flag to fall. And you defend it with your very life. And that is the notion. The banner is a marker that spells out where we stand in relationship to God's word. And let me spell it out for you, a solemn duty. It is to rally around those who swear allegiance to the king and to oppose those who oppose the king. And the battle we are called to fight is absolutely crucial. It is the battle of truth. The very word of God, the battle of the Bible. Thy word is truth, lead us to all truth. And the verse then is the most potent sign and symbol of the high ground that we stand on. Then on Christ is the solid rock that I stand. All else is sinking sand. What is really called for? Wanted. Heroes and heroines. Wanted. Brave warriors who will not wilt in battle. Wanted. Soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who will do battle for him? Are you such a one? Are you such a one to take the challenge in hand? And ladies and gentlemen, please wake up to the reality. Our most pressing challenge is before us, that the tide of godlessness is swelling even as we speak. A vast multitude is marching against our King. That you can see them on the horizon from end to end, a vast number, a formidable enemy. They grow in number by the multitude, by the minute. The nations of the world are rising and raging against the King. What are we to do? And the King has given a command, occupy till I come. Meanwhile, he and his royal army are away. So we know it's non-negotiable. There can be no surrender. There can be no negotiation, no retreat, no compromise. And as few as we are, we rally our troops. We sound the rallying cry, to arms, to battle. We stand our ground and oppose those who oppose our King. And we cry, with the knowledge in my head, with the passion in my heart, with the truth on my lips, I put on the whole armor of God. With the stake into the ground and banner of truth flying and declare, I shall not fail. I shall not flinch. I shall not falter. Though sun and moon may pass, though earth may tremble, I shall not fear. I shall battle on till victory is won. How? By my two-edged sword, the very word of God which I wield, I shall strike the enemy down and defeat him. I shall push the clouds over the horizon and consign them to the history books. Surely, a brave new world has dawned upon us. In this brave new world, behold the soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, bold and brave, strong and swift, magnificent, incomparable warrior. Such a person are we. Such a person are we. Such a person displaying and defending the banner of truth. Such a person who loves the King. Such a person who laid down his life for his master. Lastly and finally, we must mention the second part of our text. The reminder, there are two parts we have considered for the most part for the present life. But there's a dimension as we end. For the life to come. That's why training in godliness is so profitable for this second dimension. And here the apostle reminds us in our text, the other dimension is the life to come. We don't think much of the life to come, but we must. Training in godliness holds promise also for the life to come. Our bodies are mortal. One day, sooner or later, our bodies will die, but our souls are eternal. Our bodies return to the ground. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. It should humble us, my friends. Whether we are 10 or 100, our days are numbered as the Lord sees fit. We are here for a very, 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 very limited season. Here today, gone tomorrow. Our time here is fleeting but a vapor. Do we need a reminder of the King of Pop, Michael Jackson, on the 25th of June 2009, dead at 50? The greatest comeback in pop history in the O2 Arena, 50 gigs planned, would never, 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 never take place. Our time here is temporary, fleeting, short. Our bodies will one day rot in the grave, but our souls will return to God. Wake up. Put on the perspective of eternity. How are we preparing for eternity? And the answer is provided in our text. By training in godliness now, we are preparing and impacting eternity. That is an incredible thought. If we understand what is being said, it will at the very least take our breath away. Absolutely mind-blowing. Is it really true? The words of Scripture ring true. Each of us will one day appear before the judgment seat of Christ, before the long magisterial bench. And that's what the Apostle Paul tells us. A very important verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Listen to it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done. But mark, this judgment is for the believer. It's not a judgment of condemnation. As you have come to faith in Christ, your salvation is safe and secure. Nevertheless, you will have a judgment of good works done in body. On that basis, we will be rewarded. Give thought to that, my friends. What you do now in your body, there will be a reward for you before the judgment seat for the believer. And to confirm things, Jesus makes the statement. He preached a mighty sermon in the Sermon on the Mount, but in the Sermon on the Mount, he tells his hearers in Matthew 6, verse 21, lay for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he qualifies it by telling us there are things which thieves can steal. If you are a rich person and you hold millions in artwork, a Rembrandt, a Monet, a Picasso, they can be broken into and stolen. If you are a billionaire many times over in the credit crunch at the height of it, your stock and shares worth $10 billion, I have bad news for you. You have a deficit of $7 billion, a loss of $7 billion in your stocks and shares at the height of your credit crunch. And don't we know it? Things that can be stolen, things that are corruptible and perishable. But the Lord Jesus tells us to focus on this. Treasures which are not corruptible. Treasures which cannot be lost. Treasures which cannot be stolen. In other words, treasures which we are unperishable. As your salvation is secure eternally, as you have come to faith in Christ, trusting in His work, your reward, your treasures are safe and secure in heaven for you, eternally secure for the believer. Therefore, training in godliness is profitable for the life to come, because God will reward you in eternity for what you do now. And therefore, in your time scale of eternity, spiritual fitness takes priority over the physical. Therefore, take care of your soul, feed it, nurture it by laying for yourself a great, great treasure in heaven. It is Scripture's greatest promise for the believer. Train in godliness now. It's indeed profitable for the life to come. And I close with this. Are you serious in training in godliness? Have you caught a glimpse of eternity? If you have, you will train in godliness with the utmost urgency and devotion. And therefore, on the basis of your training in godliness, you impact eternity for what you do now. You hunger and thirst after righteousness, and great is your reward in heaven. For it is Scriptures greatest promise to the believer now. Amen.